Okay, we're going to call the meeting of the Board of Story County Commissioners back. And we're going to move on to item 14, which is discussion of possible action on tentative budget hearings for fiscal year 2014-2015. So, at this point, we'll go ahead and recess as the Board of County Commissioners and reconvene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board.
Hang on. No, we'll cue you when that happens. We're still in as a commission because we have several budgets to go through. When we get to water, we'll...
Oh, okay, I guess if I were in the data, I could say delay my last, but okay. Back in session is the Story County Commissioners. Tentative budget hearings. Mr. Gallagher, is this your lead?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Welcome to the tentative budget for 2015. To all of you who are interested, participants, department heads, elected officials, and, of course, the public. This has been a fairly complicated tentative budget process. We have had addition of special revenue funds we've never had before. We've had special revenue funds that we are going to dissolve as of July 1st, 2014. And probably the most critical in this process was the combining of special revenue funds into a singular special revenue fund, and in one interest, a special revenue fund into the general fund. This process started around February 1st. We started this early, and by we, I mean myself and Jesse Fain here, needed to get a fairly good head start because of the process that happened last year. We wanted to make it better. There are 36 funds within the county. There are 26 departments within one fund, so it's a huge process. And we probably went over with each department head and each elected official in a cumulative of over 500,000 line items that were reviewed and talked about. Line item budgeting, which is zero-based budgeting and priority budgeting, were discussed on each and every one of the items. We took everybody's advice, what they had. We noted it as our tentative after the discussions. I would like to thank all the department heads and our elected officials for a very good process. But this is the first blush. A second round will continue as early as next week on refining what we're going to have in the tentative. There may not be nothing, or it may be something big. We don't know. What we don't know for sure is what the Department of Taxation is going to calculate for ad valorem, real and personal property, and separately assessed. We have no idea. We'll not find that out probably until May. And other items of consideration will also be on the board. So although I'm hoping we approve this tentative budget now, this is by no means the end of it. We are going to have another round of talks with all of our department heads and elected officials to make sure we get the best budget possible for the 2015-16 year. I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge Jesse Fain for her professionalism, her attitude, devotion, and her family's acceptance of the fact that she gets here early, leaves late, and most Saturdays and Sundays she is away from her family. I thank you very much for that effort. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we will go to the general fund and the general fund revenues. Revenues from ad valorem taxes represent about 75% of the general fund. This budget is about $882,000 higher than the current budget period that we are in. which represents an additional $630,000 from ad valorem, of which $345,000 is personal property. Now, with that is not an increase in the taxes. It is now an infusion because the jail fund is now going to be incorporated in the general fund, and all the expenses of the jail fund are going to be assumed by the Sheriff's Department. The balance of that budget is fees, license fees, cabaret fees, etc., that belonged in the jail fund that is now going back into the general fund. Some things to be particularly noted of. We did a little study, and in 2011, net assessed values, that's property tax, real property tax only, net assessed values was $342,568,861. In 2012, that same net assessed taxable values was $291,649,251. We lost approximately $51,000 in net assessed value on real property.
$51 million.
This continued to decrease at about $1 million in 2013 and 14. So, to say I'm realistic about where these numbers are, it is really kind of a crapshoot. What it does tell me is that maybe it's slowing down a little bit, but we have effectively lost 15% of our tax base on real property. We are now at a rate probably equal to 2004 or 2005. That is a concerning for some people. It's not so concerning for us taxpayers, but it's something that you should know. Most of it is attributed to the industrial park, although there's a lot of places, such as the Highlands 10 Acres, the Highlands and the Canyon GID have lost a considerable amount of their net taxable value. So it's something we have to consider looking at. Janice Eden is constantly looking at the numbers, as are we, to see if we can define what the future is going to be at this period of time after, you know, this year's budget for a five-year budget. It's pretty much a crapshoot. So this is just information for you. With that said, I will now go into the various department expenses within the general fund. The clerk treasurer has increased about $11,000 over last year's budget, and it's mainly due to step increases and longevity for our clerk treasurer, Vanessa Stevens, who now earns longevity and greatly deserves it. District court funds have decreased about $4,000, and 76% of the district court budget represents charges for services to our presiding judges and public defenders. It's something we pretty much have no control over. Genetic marker testing. These are revenues derived from justice court and district court fees that are set by statute. The expenditures range from courtroom improvements to lab fees. Our drug court revenue is accumulated at the time of sentencing and is passed through to the Carson City Alternative Sentencing per order of the district court judges. We now come to our recorder, Jen Chapman. Jen's budget is up about $3,000. However, records management fees are reduced by $9,000 because we're going to transfer that to restoration. So we've made a few adjustments there, but that budget increase is fairly marginal. Technology fund, by statute, the recorder, clerk treasurer, and assessor can charge additional document fees, of which the expenditure must benefit technology. This is something that it was created probably about 4 or 5 years ago, or 3 or 4 years ago. We look at doing that, and it has helped us tremendously in our search for technology. I will now go to Mike Nevin's department, of which he has six. Mike's been a tremendous asset to this county because as managing one fund or one department is not enough. Mike has two enterprise funds, one special revenue fund, and three departmental funds. The first of which is buildings and grounds, which is $77,000 lower than last year's projection, of which $51,000 we have redirected to community service. This is basically utilities, anything that has to do with our parks and our communities. We want to be able to put a value on all of this, and so we were redirecting those costs, put them through community services, so anytime anybody wants to find out exactly what Story County is expending in those areas, they can do that. Pools and parks is up slightly because of the addition of two groundskeepers for our parks, which will serve all the parks in Story County, and additional appropriations for old patio furniture and an ADA lift to get into the pool are required. The overall budget increases amounted to about $4,500. Service, which is our service department that services all the vehicles, has done a tremendous job understanding that if we had to take and outsource this to the various auto dealers, truck dealers, and whatever, we would be paying a very, 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 very big price for all of our maintenance items. His budget has increased $15,000, mainly due to staff reclassifications and the purchase of a mobile loop trailer for service requirements in remote locations. So consequently, if wherever a vehicle is, we will probably save towing charges. And in the case of Chief Ames, if he's got somewhere out in a remote area and can't get to it, at least they can try and physically fix it and get back on the line to help prevent the fires. I'll now bring Mike up for a little bit here on as we deal with a special revenue fund, which is roads. Revenue from roads is mainly increased mainly due to a $100,000 infusion from the general fund for road repair. That makes it $300,000 for this year. This infusion will help with the FEMA 6-mile drainage project, which has an approximate cost of $1.5 million. This is a perfect example of when we were looking at zero-based budgeting last year. I believe Mike had budgeted $425,000 for road repair, and we didn't do that much this year, and I'd like Mike to explain that. Good.
Okay. So, appreciate the opportunity here in roads, and primarily, like you say, that increase of the $95,000 is our FEMA set aside, and that's a requirement of the grant. And it looks like that grant. This is something, by the way, we've been working on this pre-mitigation grant for the 6-mile drainage for many, many years. I think, Pat, it goes back to 08 or 09, somewhere in there. It's been a process, as Sherry can attest to, and Joe, as it's run through the emergency management folks at the state level. So in order for us to be the recipient, we had to agree to a 25% match, and some of that is in kind with labor, and some of that is cash. And we have 3 years to set that cash aside, so this is the first portion of the cash match at $95,000. And over the 3-year term, it amounts to $286,018. So that's why that set in there, and it's more reserve fund than something to be spent this year, and I think Hugh will probably term that as such eventually before the final. On road maintenance itself, you have a sheet that was attached that shows proposed projects. Countywide, the total upwards of $1.3 million. We know we never have enough, you know, in an annual account to do that. We didn't do a lot this last year. I mean, the fiscal year is not over yet, primarily due to the fact that we had difficulty purchasing asphalt. The asphalt plant that we typically use, just a short travel from town here, has been closed. Whether or not they'll be able to reopen this year, I'm not certain of yet. And cost to transport this stuff is just so outrageous that, you know, we haven't done a whole lot as far as pavement overlays. And one of the things that we noticed, too, as far as overlays, if you look, especially around Virginia City, a lot of these streets and roads have been are basically to the point where, you know, you can't really do too many more overlays. In fact, they're at their max, some of them. They've been raised so much over the years that we're getting into a situation where we're going to have to look at a grinding process and or other alternatives. That'd be maybe a chip seal, a slurry, a micro seal. You know, I'm exploring that, and as I mentioned earlier in staff, it'll be interesting to see what the report comes back specifically on the tri-roads. We know out there that, and I just did some calculations yesterday, if we were to do a chip seal and then a type 2 oil over the top of that for about an 80 pound per square foot resurfacing, just on USA Parkway, we're looking at about $498,000. So, you know, this stuff isn't cheap. And we, as a small entity, I only have three road maintenance guys on staff. You know, we just don't have the capability in-house to do some of that kind of stuff. So, that, of course, we have allocated in infrastructure on TRI for, I think, $500,000 for road this next cycle, and about $100,000 in drainage improvements that are needed out there. So, I mean, it's just an ongoing process that's never going to end. So, you know. I think that highlights pretty much the major stuff in the roads. I mean, there's some little, you know, hit and miss things and some of the line item stuff, but I went ahead and addressed those. Hugh said I had to keep it to a single sheet of paper, which I think I did. So that was included in your packet.
It was double-sided, right?
No.
Thank you, Mike. I think now is the...
This would be a good time to go to number 15, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you. At this time, we'll go ahead and recess as the Story County Commission, and we'll reconvene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Water fees will increase approximately $33,000, mainly due to an increase of $4.11 for residential rate and a $5.90 commercial rate. Salary and benefits actually went down by about $7,000, even with increased allocation of treatment, even with the addition of a treatment plant operator. This will certainly prevents the overtime and gives Mike and Mr. Dufresne, they can now have some weekends off. They were sharing all of that. Their dedication to this was unbelievable. Operating expenses increased $10,000, primarily due to operational supplies. Overall expenditures were down approximately $14,000. The Virginia Divide Sewer, approximately $100,000, and the increase was due to a rate of $10.71 for residential users and $14.24 for commercial establishments. These increases will help pay the debt service for the $3,002,000 of intermediate loans we're going to get from Wells Fargo. The total expenditures decreased $33,000, mainly due to the closing of a USACE grant closeout, if you could explain that.
Yeah, the USACE grant was the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers funding that was provided initially for the design and engineering of the entire wastewater infrastructure within Virginia City and Gold Hill, including the treatment plant. And of course, those funds paid for that portion. They also paid for the environmental assessment fees and costs, the sensitivity analysis portion, all of the soils analysis that was required. So that grant closes out within the current fiscal year, so we didn't have to provide any funding in the next cycle for that. So we will be able to hopefully build a little bit better ending fund balance in sewer. And one of the things in sewer that we really never have been able to be the beneficiaries of is new equipment that can be utilized. And one thing that I did put in for the tentative for this upcoming fiscal year is to purchase a sewer camera. We have a lot of aging infrastructure within the two communities that we don't have the capability to camera ourselves, so it's either the burden of the property owner and or us paying a contractor to come up with that. So if we have something in-house and we can take a look, see what's going on, where the blockage is, and we've had several within the last year or so. And it's just due to the age of the pipe and what's in the ground, and sometimes we're surprised when we dig it up to find what we do find. The other thing we would eventually like to see purchased is, and it doesn't have to be something that's brand new because it would cost about $750,000 to buy a brand new one, that would be a Vactor truck. We've been fortunate that we have neighbors in Lyon County that we can call on a moment's notice, and they've been wonderful in helping out when the need arises for a Vactor truck. And the most recent was an incident occurred down on K Street with an old water line that was converted to sewer probably back in the 1930s, and it finally just rusted away and rusted through, and we had to call them to utilize their services because we had raw sewage coming up that we had to dispose of properly. So we'd like to be able to set aside a little bit in the ending fund to hopefully buy a used one within a couple of years, and they're probably, you know, about $50,000 to $60,000 for a decent used Vactor truck. So that's where those increases come in the sewer. And as Hugh mentioned, the biggest majority, of course, is the per-month fee that the users will have to pay back the cost for the loan funding from USDA in the amount of $3,002,000. And the calculations were completed, and we elected to utilize the same 1.3% differential between residential and commercial. That's why a little bit of difference there. So $1,071 a month per residential customer and $1,424 a month per commercial. And it's interesting to note on sewer fees that, you know, we pay our facility and try there, we pay about $80 a month for sewer, And, you know, we have a mothball facility there for the most part, so sewer rates are usually generally more than water, and if you, we've looked at some of the neighboring communities, and that's pretty much true to form. And I think these rates here will still be a little bit lower than what, for example, Canyon GID charges for sewer, so it's just part of the game that, you know, I mean, you got to pay for these improvements, and we're long overdue, unfortunately. You know, we're dealing with a 40-plus-year-old plant that we struggle every day to get by with meeting the numbers that are required of us by the state for discharge into the Six Mile Canyon drainage. So we're looking forward to that project being completed within this upcoming fiscal year. Questions?
Okay, this would be a good time then, Mr. Chairman, to invite public comment on the water and sewer budget, and then hopefully a vote to ask that board to approve its tentative budget.
Okay. Any public comment on this? Come on up, Mark.
This will be limited to water and sewer.
Water and sewer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You bet.
Yeah, Mark Joseph Phillips, Virginia City resident. Item number 16, tentative budget hearings, fiscal year 2014-15 for water and sewer services in Virginia City, Gold Hill, and Silver City. Couple things briefly. Last year I started a public records request. I'm trying to get a copy of the original signed contract between Story County and Comstock Mining, Inc. I see reference here to sale of raw water per our agreement with CMI, and if anybody has sent me any information regarding that contract, please disregard, but this contract was about a year ago, and I'm not sure that it was ever signed at all. So I'm interested in seeing the original signed contract, and if anybody can help me with that.
Mark, Mike should have a copy. Vanessa should have a copy.
That we have it in our office, Mark.
It's in your office?
Yeah, sure. Just
okay.
And Vanessa has the official one that the commission approved.
Well, I've seen what was on the agenda, but I have not seen the actual signed contract. Okay, I'll come to your office. And the other thing is that I had reason to believe that with this rate increase in water, this would be the fifth year of increase. I see reference here to this will be the fourth year. Now, I was hoping that this increase would be the fifth and final increase, but
this is the fourth.
It's four or five, but it could very well be the final.
Okay.
Enough aside now, you see that expenses are coming back down a little bit, so it could be the final. I mean, just because we say it's four or five doesn't necessarily, if we don't need a rate increase next year, we won't ask.
Okay. Thank you.
Someone else have any questions on this? Ms. Hounds?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Janet Hounds from Martin. I'd like to find out when you have a sewage mortgage loan from Wells Fargo, the interest itself, this sewage and water account, are they going to pay some of these expenses or not? Thank you.
If I understand the question, we have a takeout loan from Wells Fargo, or excuse me, we have a bridge loan, a swing loan from Wells Fargo that the USDA will take out on that $3 million. That facilitates the construction portion. USDA runs the long-term portion. All interest on that loan, the Wells Fargo bridge loan, and on the USDA loans will be paid by water and sewer subscribers.
Thank you. All right, and that's the case, it will be in the budget itself under the sewage budget as an interest. Because I don't think I see that any interest in that sewage account.
That session with Wells Fargo and USDA has not happened yet, and those numbers will be there on the final budget.
So it will not happen the next fiscal year?
They're going to start construction here before the end of this fiscal year. We just don't know what the number is as of yet.
So don't you have an estimations? Don't you have to account for it since you're going to start for that?
It will be at the final budget when we sign the documents with Wells Fargo.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, at this time, looking for a motion to approve the tentative budget for Story County Water and Sewer.
So moved.
Second.
And moved and second for approval. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Great. At this time, we will go ahead and adjourn as the Story County Water and Sewer Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of Commissioners.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next on the item is a brand new special revenue fund, which we are going to call USDA. This is a special revenue fund designed for the construction of the wastewater treatment plant. All expenditures related to this project will be expensed through this account. Revenue received from will be in the form of interim financing of $3,002,000 and the balance of $2,312,794 in the form of a USDA grant. This will probably be, hopefully, just a one-year special revenue fund, but I believe that it will be a lot cleaner than incorporating that into some other special revenue fund so that we all can take a look at it and so the public can see the progress as we're going forward. Our next item, and I skipped over this, was our assessor, Jana Seaton, and I'm sorry to have done that to Jana, but Jana's budget increased about $71,000 was larger than last year, mainly due to staff increases and benefits. At that particular time, there was an event or an employee on Jana's staff that we did not know whether she was going to come back from extended leave or whether that person was going to retire. That is not going to happen. Thankfully, that employee has returned to work. Consequently, this number will probably reduce by about $40,000, but Jana does need an intermediate part-time mainly because of DMV. Department of Motor Vehicles, at the request of our commissioners, needs to stay open. And having it closed for certain periods of time and whatever, although it was necessary when Jana was short-changed and also out in the field doing assessments, it's just needed to have that happen. So that person can also now do some things when Jana and Toby are out in the field doing the assessments, and so I believe this is a valued adjustment. But we will be getting rid of one full-time equivalent and replacing it with a half-time or less than half-time equivalent. So that will change, Mr. Chairman. Next on our list is community development. Salaries and benefits have increased by about $53,000 over the current budget, which represents staff reclassifications and the addition of a part-time billing inspector and a part-time administrative clerk. These positions will be used in the event activity in the Tahoe Regional Industrial Park increases. Service supplies increased about $16,000 due to full allocation of rents and utilities. You may be reminded that last year the Planning Commission, Planning Department, was also housed with the Building Department, That is no longer the case. The planning department resides here in the courthouse, so unfortunately, Dean gets all the expenses. We also, in addition to that, Dean has, Dean will be authorized the purchase of a new vehicle, since the current vehicle he has got 170,000 miles on it. We don't know if it's going to be a right-seated vehicle or a left-seated vehicle, but we'll kind of figure that out. It depends on how Dean's shoulder is doing. But that capital expenditure is requested, and probably we've gotten by this for a number of years. Next on your list is our district attorney, who will be leaving us in January, and pretty much replaced by our then newly elected district attorney, Ann Langer, and will soon probably gather have an addition of an additional assistant district attorney, which I think is greatly needed. I think the work that Ann and Bill have done in the short period of time that Ann has been here, I think has proven to not only keep up with all the current transactions that happen within the district attorney's department, but also all of the things that were missed in the last decade or so to try and catch up on all of those. So I think it's well needed, and that is my recommendation. In addition, their supplies have been reduced by $6,900, which is pretty much all the furniture and fixture that was bought in this current fiscal year cycle. Justice Court. Justice Court is about even, Stephen, where it was last year. Judge Harrington's department has small increases in salary and benefits due to employee step increases. However, line items and operational expenses were reduced for professional fees, training, and court system expenditures. Thank you, Judge, for that. The Justice Court Fund is a special fund that was created by NRS 176 and is basically a pass-through account. I mean, whatever is needed for the Justice Court is derived from fees, and there are certain ways that we have to expend that. Communications. Dave Ballard should be applauded for his efforts in this area, because salaries and benefits have decreased approximately $39,000 due to the hiring of one part-time employee at a cost of approximately $22,000, but it will eliminate about $60,000 in extra pay. Now, this is a 24/7 operation, and the communications department, the 911 calls and the staffing are an integral part of Chief Haynes and Sheriff Antonaro's ability to recognize or receive information and disseminate information from that point forward. Operational costs are going to increase about $8,000, mainly due to equipment maintenance contracts, which are already underway. However, the total departmental expenditures decreased about $38,000 over the previous year's budget. So thank you, Dave, for that. Our information technology department, their budget increased $69,000 over the last year, which included staff reclassifications and insurance reclassifications in the amount of $25,000. We have geared up. We have been very lucky in the past years with having a minimal amount of staff to take care of our needs. However, with the more needs that we are assuming on the information technology side, a lot of the some contractual obligations, some, and also making sure that the data that this county has is stored and secured properly is paramount to our doing business on a day-to-day basis. And so consequently with this becomes those people are going to assume more responsibilities in what they do. We have taken over a lot of things that, or Dean has taken over a lot of things that were previously outsourced. We now have the ability to be the product of our own destiny, as you call it, for our web design and things of that nature, and helping everybody with whatever things they have as far as the Story County website. Capital outlay increased $20,000, which included a replacement vehicle for James, which has probably got more miles on it than Dean's, and some necessary computer equipment, which includes, we call it a mini computer, some people call it a mainframe, it's an AS400. It's at its sixth year, and like anything else, IBM has what they call planned obsolescence, which means that if you don't buy their best product, they will not service, or they will not come here and fix or set a contract, a maintenance contract, for your old stuff. So we pretty much call that planned obsolescence. However, that vehicle machine will now be moved to the industrial park. So in case we have a disaster here in Virginia City, it will probably take us probably 2 days to get back up to speed with all the information that we have had previously on this server. So it saves us a tremendous amount of time and effort in the case of an emergency. My budget is up about $8,000. However, and it's actually due to, some of it is due to a health insurance reclassification. My previous, the previous employee down there was single, and my employee now is married with children. That happens. And I, again, thank Mike Nevin for the ability to steal her away from him. An additional $6,000 was allocated for specialty audits, to include franchise fees audits of NV Energy, AT&T, and Verizon. This is the same problem that we have with sales tax. And it's been a long standing, and it's been a particularly hard rock under County Manager Whitten's saddle when we take a look and see that Washoe County is gathering sales taxes that belong in Story County. This happens a tremendous amount in the industrial park. We are trying to get away from it. We are trying to, if it's possible, to get off of this guaranteed share. But when that happens, we're going to want those taxable sales that are relative to the industrial park to stay in the industrial park. Or if they happen in the Highlands, they are in the Highlands, not Washoe County. So consequently, along with this comes franchise fees. And wherever you're located in the Highlands or Mark Twain or Lockwood, we don't know where those fees are going. NV Energy may be sending those fees to Washoe County, same thing as AT&T, same thing as Verizon, because it all depends, again, on this zip code thing that we got. And because we don't have a dedicated zip code for any three of these areas, we are probably in all... realistically being probably thrown in part and parcel into either Lyon County or Washoe County. We don't know. We're going to find that out this year. We're going to see. In addition to that, we always do a waste management audit to make sure that their fees and their expenditures and the way they're operating is per our agreement. So that's what those fees are for. Emergency management has pretty much gone down about 80,000 or probably about 83,000, mainly due to reclassification of all those services within emergency management to community services, of which Sherry Nevin will head up and is doing a tremendous job. So Joe's all by himself sitting over there in emergency management, but this is pretty much his budget. Emergency mitigation, again, we leave it at, we're going to leave that at $100,000, and it was created by resolution 8.266 on July 17th of 2008 to set aside funds to be expenses incurred by local government to mitigate the effects of an emergency. And we did that last year. We did that with sandbags for a potential Lockwood disaster when the river was rising, or the potential for the river to rise. And so that's what this fund is for. Community service. This is the bigger and greater and better community service has increased about $97,000 over last year, and is greatly due to the part of transfer of responsibility and expense allocations from emergency management. Included were $54,500 in operational expenses and $40,000 in community support grants. There is one item on here, which is the Story County Senior Center, which has, at a late date, requested additional funds for their community center. This is another work in progress that we're going to have. We're going to come with a staff recommendation as to what that is. But in April's defense, and she is not here because she texted us and said she was sick, she has now expanded her area to include Mark Twain and the Highlands. She's expanded the home bounds. And so consequently, we're going to try and work up something that's beneficial and keeps her at a fairly sustainable rate. And of course, with Sherry being around, their availability, or at least their access to grants and information to grants, will be greatly enhanced. With that, we come to the Park Fund. The Park Fund will have an infusion of funding from the general fund as a result of an audit performed on business licenses from 1980 to the present. When the audit is completed, all representative parks will have a chance to review and sign off on the audit findings. That should be shortly. It will definitely be before the tentative, and all of you will have at least you will have enough information to take a look at all that stuff and at least give me your findings and at least your comments. So that will, and the $1,000 that's in there is just, that's new stuff. So you will not see the infusion in there, but you will see it in its ending fund balance. The Sheriff Department, this is another one of those, it was a pretty complicated effort because Sheriff Antonoro his jail department is now going to be infused into his sheriff budget. We had long talked about this. There's been a lot of comment, dissent, rightfully so, because a long time ago it was probably built in for the payment of a loan to build the initial jail facility. In various years it has been used for operational expenses. It was not good enough to do that. So in the absence of any of that, and in the absence of any reasonable plan to give the jail fund a source of revenue that was consistent with its amount of expenditures, it was decided that we should dissolve the jail fund effective July 1st and move all of those representative employees and their expenses into the jail fund. Consequently, the jail fund increased about roughly around $900,000 from where it was. Understanding now that the revenue from the jail fund will now go into the general fund. This is going to be another work in progress. we are going to, as with all of our managers, going to go back through to make sure. And in the sheriff's case, it is full-time equivalents. We want to make sure that his full-time equivalents are at his best, best advantage to serve the public. He also has some vehicles there for the additional of 5 vehicles, which we will, which at this time we will recommend that that be purchased. So there will be some additional conversations between Jesse and I and the sheriff on where we're going, what we're going to do. We have options in pretty much all the areas, especially in staffing. We need to talk about that. And we are settled with one staffing model now. I want to readdress it. I want to go over. I want to make sure that the sheriff is satisfied with the amount of service equivalents that he's going to have to put on the ground to serve the public. And so that's pretty much where we are with the sheriff and, of course, the elimination of the jail fund.
I think we're to number 9. You read fire red part.
Okay.
Yeah. 19.
Okay, so at this time, let's go ahead and recess as the Story County Board of Commissioners, and we'll go ahead and reconvene as the 474 Fire Protection District Board.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
When we get to the end. Go ahead, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Similar to the consolidation of the jail into the sheriff, we are doing the same thing with Chief Hames's departments of the fire district, or which we call the old 473, and his fire department, which is 030, into Fire District 474. This is the consolidation of what we used to call Wildland Fire District into the 474 Fire District. This consolidation will, again, be a work in progress until the final budget to make sure all the areas are covered within Chief Hames' Fire Protection District. This is a, I feel, is a good budget. I want to make sure, again, that all the expenditures that we're having current this year, that we may have additional expenditures for next year, where we are with certain things, that we don't miss anything, because it's critical for Chief Ames and it's critical for the county. So I would recommend at this point in time that for Fire District and Fire Emergency Fund, that you approve the 2015 tentative budget.
Can I jump in here for just one second, too? There is a critical component, I call it an unintended consequence of our desire to really get this thing appearing on taxation's books, our books, everybody's books, as what it is. It is truly a separate local government, the same as the school board, the same as everything. That's the good news. The bad news is automatically then taxation invokes a rule that says, okay, you have to have a 2-month contingency of $80,000 set aside, exactly the same like we have for the general fund. So contingencies are never intended to be used. They're when everything goes to hell type provisions. So that should hopefully be a carryover from now on, much the same as the county's general fund contingency typically is. So there's a slight deficit financing of $106,000, but $80,000 of that is that contingency. And an oft-asked question that I've asked and made sure all fiscal impacts from your previous approval of the contract with IAFF have been factored into this as well. So.
Mr. Chairman, we have one more fund, which is the Fire Emergency Fund. And a mutual aid fund. The Fire Emergency Fund was created by resolution number 07240 under the direction of NRS 474 460, and 474550. Fire emergency fund must be used for emergencies and must not be used for operational expenses. NRS 474510 establishes a threshold of $1 million for the fire emergency fund. Anything over this amount must be credited to the fire operating fund. The next fund is the mutual aid fund, which was designed to account for those incidents that remain outside of our county. And if a neighbor or a neighboring state needs help, and we send resource, which is personnel and equipment, to that incident, all of that, all of those expenses are taken care of or are credited to this account, because under this account, we are also going to bill for those services. So we bill whatever respective agency for the time, the callback time, the overtime, the rental on the equipment, whatever else is out there, and that use usually comes back as a profit center, which then can be rolled into the fire district for operational expenses, maintenance, etc. So that is our mutual fund and its explanation, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So we would vote on this, accept this before we go back.
That's right? Fire board, yes.
Okay. So at this time, if we'll take discussion on this item, which pertains to Fire District 474, emergency fire emergency or mutual aid. These are the three items that are pertaining to this agenda item. Any comment on that? Come on up.
First, I'd like to ask on this fire 474 on the special revenue funds that you all have conducted. As I understand earlier, that it was stated it should be under the general fund, but you are using the fire equipment to generate this special fund. So you are putting a general, you are putting the revenue that the assets belong to the fire department under the 474 regulations. So did I hear it correctly?
Yeah, I'm lost. There are no general fund monies.
You mentioned earlier there's a special fund itself, which is actually the billing of the fire.
Which fund are you talking about?
The one that you always, you said Gary Hans is running the operations.
Okay.
That revenue is treated as a special fund. Am I right?
Yep.
And you also mentioned that that fund is going to transfer to the general fund.
No.
No?
I did not say that.
Okay. I heard it wrong. I apologize.
Okay.
So just to get some clarifications. Now, as I'm looking at the budget itself, I think it's the equipment purchase. It's stated there is a loan on the equipment acquisition budget that is for the fire, for your fire equipment. Now my question is that this is for your fire equipment. Why are we putting in the equipment acquisition? Why is it not in the 474 budget?
I think I can answer that. First off, we haven't heard equipment acquisition. The comment is supposed to be limited, but since it's been asked, and it tangentially touches the fire district, equipment acquisition has been set up under statute and I believe under either ordinance or resolution that it can be used by the fire district, by the water department, by any of those, so that is why.
Okay. Because I will be contacting Department of Taxation with all this budget too. Thank you.
Okay.
Anyone else have any questions regarding the fire district's budget? Call for a motion? Can I get a motion?
Motion to approve the 454.
One second.
Then move the second to approve tentative budget hearing for fiscal year 2014-15 for the 474 Fire Protection District. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Perfect. Okay. Now we're going to go ahead and adjourn as the 474 Fire Protection District Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of Commissioners. Mr. Gallagher.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Equipment acquisition account is a special revenue fund that's primarily used for purchase obligations within the roads and 474 districts, although it has been used for various other funds. Continued use of this fund by the 474 Fire District will go to pay off the USDA obligation of about $2 million in obligations for two new structure vehicles, and two new ambulances. So that is our equipment acquisition account. The next is our commissioner's budget. Commissioner's budget increased about...
Can you hang on for a second?
Go ahead.
I believe our correct numbers are 3 new structure engines and 3 new ambulances.
Was it 3? Did you throw another one in there? The commissioner's budget increased about $30,000 over prior budget. Salaries and benefits were increased approximately $10,000 due to reclassifications and step increases. Services and supplies included $21,000 due to potential increased travel commitments and economic development appropriations. The administrative department increased about $2,277,000 over last year's budget.
So increased or decreased?
Increased. However, $2.5 million of that increase accounts for transfer to CAP projects. As you know, we've had a long list of items that we were going to use when we started looking at the infrastructure. We've got about probably at this point down $7 million of items that we're going to try and use infrastructure for, but that's not going to take it, because at that rate it's probably going to be about 48 years before we ever complete the project. Some of these projects are critical, so we are going to now transfer from the general budget. Actually, it's a decrease in the general fund budget, ending fund revenue about $2.5 million, and we're going to put that against capital projects so we can pay for these projects, hopefully within the next year or within whatever the plan designates. In addition, salaries and benefits will increase $81,000, which is attributed to staff reclassifications and a new exempt position. Operational expenses decreased by $27,000, of which $15,000 can be attributed to transferring technology outsourcing to the information technology department. So what we gained in our IT department, we lost on the admin through the outsourcing of that. Courthouse repairs are budgeted for $50,000. Property and casualty insurance is budgeted for a $37,000 increase. We will not know that until May, until POOLPAC gives us their billing on this. We're hoping it's less. Our incidents, I think, have been very small. I hope our rating is very small, so we're just waiting for this. So this is another item that will be finalized before the final budget, Mr. Chair. And based upon the various expenses that we either increase or decrease, or revenues that increase or decrease, that will affect our contingency fund, for which we will have that number by the final budget. Health and Human Resources, this department was created within the general fund to assist with indigent assistance programs, consumer health, or rural child protection. And this is something that goes on a year-to-year basis. It is an expense only of the general fund. It has no revenue coming through it. Our next department is the planning department, and that decreased about $60,000 over the fiscal year. This was accomplished through the retirement of an outstanding accounting employee, which brought payroll savings down about 58%, or $58,000. So, indigent medical was created under resolution 97.26 on September 2nd, 1997. Under the direction of NRS 428 indigent persons. Revenue was received from a 0.01 tax rate of ad valorem and centrally assessed. Indigent accident, special revenue fund, is a directive of NRS 244.160, which quotes, the board of county commissioners shall have power and jurisdiction in their representative counties to take care of and provide for the indigent sick of the county in such a manner only as is or may be provided by law. So that is that fund. Our capital projects fund is, as I mentioned, is going to have an infusion. When it was decided to look at countywide projects either through infrastructure or capital outlay, a list of possible projects was assembled. This list is totally, as I said before, about $7 million in potential projects. It has been suggested that those items that would fall outside of the infrastructure list would be picked up by allocating general fund revenues to capital projects. Infrastructure, likewise, is those funds are provided from are for by one quarter option sales tax, for which expenditures are allowed by NRS 377. This plan should be finalized by the final budget. Stabilization revenue was created under resolution number 06-218, dated March 24, 2006. Revenue is derived from transfers from general fund revenues, or from the general fund, and expenditures follow NRS 354-6155 guidelines, and the balance of the fund must not exceed 10% of the expenditures from the general fund for the previous year. We have now the dissolving of two funds, which is going to be the town of Gold Hill and town of Virginia City. You will not see that on the final budget as it comes forward. Tri-payback fund was created by resolution 09279 on May 17, 2009 for the purpose of dedicating funds collected from the park to pay back our public-private partnership. As of this date, there is a balance owed of approximately $46,850,563. So, we will never, because of the establishment of this fund, we will never have to dip into anywhere else in order to do that, because the revenues that are derived from the park itself, a certain percentage of that is taken to pay the authentic debt, which we have on a yearly basis based upon an audit from Coon Clagney, and that representative amount is then recalculated every single year so that we're consistent in its application and that we don't get surprised by anything. So if the industrial park, let's hope, takes off in the next 4 or 5 years and we have a tremendous amount of revenue coming back through that, that will also, parts of that will flow back into this payback fund so that we can now pay our public-private partner on a year-to-year basis. The BC Rail project was currently under resolution 11.322 dated April 5th, 2011. There has been much debate as to the disposition of this fund, and I don't blame anybody for this. However, there is a meeting scheduled for this week, and there will be more information by the final budget deadline, and I'm sure that we're trying to resolve this as best we can with this. And the federal grants are pretty much not within our budget presentation, Mr. Chairman, and contingency will be rescheduled for the final budget.
Very good. So at this time, we can we'll take public comment. Items on the budget, excluding the Water Sewer Board and the Fire Board, which have already been approved. So, Ms. Bard, come on down.
Great summary, Pew. Nicole Bard, Highlands. I have a couple of questions. One is, what's the difference operationally between the administrative budget and that department and the commissioner's budget and that department? Because I see cross positions in here.
There is. Typically what we try to do is we try to do a constantly moving assessment as to how much time and service do we devote to either the commission or the governing body as a whole. That would be the commission. And then we begin to look at support of other offices and more general stuff like the county's insurance policy. We don't cost allocate those out. We simply cover the entire insurance policy. So the administrative is generally more global, if you will, to the entire.
So it's true operation.
Exactly.
Okay, but are you sharing the costs on the administrative officer and management analyst?
Correct.
So that's one person split?
Correct.
Salary coming out of both places? Okay. And then I see that you're adding a position in administrative called the Fire Prevention Life Safety Officer?
Yes, we have added that already.
Okay. So somebody's in that position?
That is correct. David Silva from the Hawkins.
Okay, all right. And then my last question is, what funding is going towards the tourism director? How much is that?
That was an 80-20 formula under former budgets.
Mm-hmm.
This year it is being reversed to a 10-90, 10 from the county, 90 from the tourism.
All right, so you're feathering that out. All right, that's great. Thank you.
Any other questions? Ms. House. You want to go last?
Yeah, great. Unless you mention your name, come after me.
Just want to refresh myself. Did we talk about community services?
Did we talk about community services?
Budget, yeah.
Yes, we did.
You do? Okay. Okay, on the community services budget, as I was looking at, I see that there's a lot of repairs for the Fort Worth and St. Mary's, all this. My question is that these expenses is paid by the county. Is this part as considered as part of a grant, or is it just totally at an expenses?
We'd like to answer
that.
Historically, the county has tried to support the tenants, if you will, of our properties. The Fort Worth School is owned by the county. St. Mary's Arts Center is owned by the county. The buildings. So I would think you're close when you say, is it more of a grant? Yes, it's a programmatic grant, if you will. We used to pay years ago, not so much for St. Mary's as I recall, we used to pay the Fort Worth bills direct. And we basically, over time, settled on an amount with the Fourth Ward Board and said, how about if we just fund you at this level and that will stay static for several years now. So I think a grant is a good analogy.
So when you say a grant itself, Do they report to Story County? Do this nonprofit organization report to Story County as a grant?
Verbally, yes, we have a seat on each of those boards. Commissioner Chauvin is very active, I think, in both those bills. So yes, they report through our liaison that we designate.
So you have a report on a grant format that is submitted by the board, by the nonprofit organization to the county?
No, I'm not saying it. I'm not saying that there's a paper report like there is generated monthly from Hugh's office or Vanessa's. Our liaisons interact and sit on the boards of those organizations, so they report on their programs and progress through that facility.
Interesting. Thank you. All right. And I just want to confirm what I hear. When you say jail fund is going to be in the general fund, our property tax assessment stated that, computation stated that there's a jail fund separately itself. Is it legal to put into the general fund, or did the DA have to inform or get approval from the Secretary of State? Because this was, if not mistaken, is under, please help me, I'm not around. I believe there was some sort of a bond for that financing, and it was, and that is why it was put in as a tax, our property tax, as to be able to finance these bonds. Now, my question now is that, is it legal to transfer to the general fund, or do we have to ask from the Secretary of State first?
There was never a bond passed. As far as we can figure, they had a time frame when we had a tax rate of a dollar, and they just took out 10 cents, didn't raise the taxes, and designated as a jail fund. And the purpose of that was to repay a loan that we got to build the jail whenever we built it. So there was never a bond issue, and there was never a tax increase. It's just that we took money out of the general fund and designated it as the jail fund. So there was never any tax increase, and there was never any bond. So all we're doing is doing away with this fiction that was created to pay back that loan and putting it back into the general fund where we took it from to begin with. So that's, yes, what we're doing is legal. And we'll be passing a resolution probably at the next April 15th or whatever, April 15th, doing away with the designation jail fund, and that amount will remain in the general fund where it came from to begin with.
So if I request the documentation of where it's generated, I'll be able to assess that.
I don't understand what you just said.
So if you were saying that it was initial be taken out as a proportion of 10 cents from that. So before they can take it out, they have to make some sort of resolutions or some sort of documentations. Can I have that documentations?
I don't think that document, I don't think it exists. If it does, I don't think anybody's been able to find it. I know when this issue came up some time back, a whole bunch of us did some research. I checked with our bond counsel, Swinside and Stern, who, as far as I know, is the law firm that has done all of our bond work whenever we issue bonds, and they said that this was not a bond issue, or they would have done it. I think Mr. Nevin keeps shaking his head. He may have been around when all of this was happening, and I think that's an accurate description. I think they just put an amount that they thought on the tax bill. And I don't know if there was ever a resolution. I think we've looked for that. We've never found it. But that's the best explanation we can could give for the creation of this jail fund. And it's something that it obviously doesn't, it isn't enough money for the sheriff to operate the jail, so it doesn't make any sense to have it segregated out. So we're just going to put it in the jail fund, or we're going to put it in the general, we're going to do away with that separate item on the tax bill, keep it in the general fund, and then the sheriff, the jail will be operated and be a sub part of the sheriff's budget on an ongoing basis. And then whatever he needs to run the jail, he can come in and ask the commission for that money. I think that's an accurate explanation of what we're doing.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mark, come on up.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, in closing, Mark Phillips for the record. Can we assume now that the Danny Dobson's no longer the community services director? That title?
That is correct here. I believe we've already changed the job description and classification to tourism director.
Okay, and my congratulations to Ms. Nevin, doing an excellent job. Second concern is, came up at the last meeting, the GPOS, the Story County GPOS and their charter and the possible misuse of their charter.
Mark, maybe under public comment, but right now we're going
to... Well, that would be under community services.
There is a line item in the first chief process.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, nothing's been resolved as of today, I don't believe, and I'm just hoping that you all take that into consideration before the final budget.
Mark, can I address that? It will be addressed. I believe it's scheduled to be on topic for the next meeting, for the April 15th meeting. We have a consent or a request for an agenda item from Ms. Bard, and while this was discussed at depth amongst the team that helped develop the budget, with both myself and others, this is on the intended budget. So depending on the outcome of April 15th or anything, it can be removed from the budget, it can be altered from the budget, and nothing can happen.
I can rest assured that's being thought of, and I appreciate that. And in conclusion, in the vacuum created by the closing of Story County's public library down at the high school, I would like to acknowledge the folks who have picked up in the slack in allowing the public access to public record. Top of the list would be Ms. Jen Chapman and her deputies. It's a wonderful public access to the internet there. Also, at the corner down there at the Visitors Bureau, VCTC has allowed the public wonderful access to the public internet. And of course, the community chest, both their facilities have really, really picked up the slack in allowing the public access to the internet. Thank you.
Last but not least.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to speak after he does.
Did you have a new chair for me on being manager of the budget?
First interest of mine is the jail fund. I've been here a few days, but whenever Hugh got on board and Miller got on board, I seen a direction change. The jail fund was started to pay off the jail for sheriff, the old sheriff that was here for 100 years. And then it got paid off, and they just didn't want to turn loose of that, so they kept that. Then next thing I heard was going to have a justice center. Going to build a mega resort down there. And in the interim, they leased two double-wide trailers and stuck the new DA in it and the sheriff. And over the course of 6 years, my understanding is we blowed $540,000 on that operation. And I've been crying about that jail fund right along, bing, bing, bing. I'm glad to see it gone. Second item, budget. Sheriff. I asked for a fleet of Toyotas, and I was told it had to be settled in the budget hearing. Okay. I hear somebody had 180,000 miles on their truck or car. We've got to get rid of it, okay? I've got a fleet of Toyotas. I had a 67 with 407,000 miles on it. Did two valve jobs, starter, a few other maintenance. And it was registered. I was driving it daily. A dealer from Florida called me, wanted it, $25,000. I said, get it up here and get it. He brought me the checks, and a guy up in a trailer towed my 67 Toyota pickup Stout back to Florida. And I got a 96 Toyota pickup that's got 297,000 miles on it. Every 1,000 and a 200,000, change oil, tranny, variant. So I hear these people wanting these new trucks at 175,000. And I can consistently do that. If you jump over here and pay a few more bucks for the sheriff fleet of Toyotas, then he'll get some 300,000 and 400,000 miles. We won't be buying a new radiator every 40 or 50,000 miles. That was my second issue. Good night. Oh, and I can't stay. At 3 o'clock, I got to leave. So if you could move my public comments ahead of somewhere and mix it in there before 3, I'd really like it, Mr. Chairman.
Perhaps you could become special advisor to the sheriff on his purchasing of equipment.
Manager for free.
That's great, because we got a little bit of chuckle after the last meeting when we went home and watched the news that Tuesday evening to see the Toyota was fined $1 billion for building great automobiles. It doesn't get any better than that. Thank you, Mr. Beach. Okay. Any other comments on today's tentative budget hearing? Okay, at this time. Looking for a motion to approve tentative budget.
Motion here. Well, okay. Motion to approve our tentative 14-15 budget.
I'll second.
Okay.
Then moved to second to approve tentative budget hearing for fiscal year 2014-2015. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries.
Thank all of you for putting all this together for us. Everyone out there, it's not a fun task, and I want to thank Jesse especially for putting these books together for us. I know that's a tedious thing too.
Yeah. A lot of hard work in by all the department heads and staff is putting the budget together. There's an immense amount of work.
Sure. You know,
Jesse's children will get a chance to. Let's see what she looks like.
Okay.
Not yet. Mr. Gilman?
Thank you very much. I also want to thank all the department heads, everybody that's worked so hard. We embarked on this zero-based budgeting last year, and it was our first step into the realm. And this year, it looks to me like, in going through the budget, we've made wonderful progress. And a thank you to you, and a thank you to Jesse, and Pat, and everybody that's working on this. And all you guys, I know you're spending extra time and you're looking at it carefully. This is a tentative budget. And the thought I would share is we're going to take another bite at the apple. And as I go through some of the departments, it appears to me that we can continue and we can pare down a little bit more in some areas. There's some budget item areas that weren't used last year, and we said, well, we're going to re-implement those, but we didn't use them last year. So maybe that's important, and maybe that isn't. And in zero-based budgeting, we're not just looking at cutting. We're looking at deciding exactly what it's going to take to operate our departments in the most efficient way. So sometimes that means that there's an increase, and sometimes that means that we're going to be able to decrease. If we find a shortfall in a budget where we've got an issue, we can go back to our county manager, and we have a vehicle in which to augment those things and talk about them in various meetings. So I commend you. I think we've made a fabulous start, Hugh. Jesse, I can't thank you guys enough for all the work that's on this. And I see nothing but great things for Story County and our future, and we're doing a great job. You know, Mark, I appreciated your comments on what you recognized is going on in here. We all talked about our IT. We talked about within the last year that we were going to work carefully at being able to put all of our community records
on the computer so you guys can get down there and find it. That's happening. So with a little bit of patience and a little bit of cooperation and a little bit of coordination, our parks, our IT, our all of the issues surrounding government operation here in Story County are evolving. And I'm going to suggest to you that they're all evolving on a very positive level because of a lot of hard work from a lot of great people. Yep. And a personal thank you for everybody for what's happening.
So, I think the commissioners ought to give them a big hand, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
Anybody need a break? Are you okay? We only have a few more minutes to go.
Okay. What do you want to do, Dale? Want to take a break again, or do you want to just press on?
I'd like to use my
buddy
comments.
Okay,
well,
let's press on.
Let's press on. Okay. Let's move on to item 23, discussion of possible action. It's the approval of the business liquor license, second reading, Mustang Ranch Retailer.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to abstain on the vote on this since I am the proprietor of the businesses that are under consideration, so I'll join the audience for a moment. Be back.
Okay. So, looking for a motion for approval of the second reading, 23A.
Maybe Jerry wants to.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just came up to see if anybody had any questions. We finally corrected the name on the agenda. We've corrected the name on the agenda. Investigation has been completed. We recommend approval of the business license.
All good to go?
Yep.
Okay, go. Okay. Unless there's any questions, I'll move to approve the Mustang Ranch Steakhouse and Hunting Lodge Restaurant and Lounge.
And I'll second to my next door neighbor now. So, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Okay.
And okay. Community development and planning. So, item 24, we have, are you going to handle this? Dean's going to handle it today. Welcome back, Dean. Possible action, licensing board, second readings.
Commissioners, thank you. I would recommend the commissioners approve items A through I as meeting all the requirements and approve their business licenses.
A through I? Dean?
Yeah. Yes.
Can I get a motion for that?
Motion to approve items A through I.
I'll second the motion.
Been moved and second to approve A through I. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
I would ask that you would continue items J and K. I do want to let you know Branda Accessories at 700 USA Parkway are under full operation. We are just finishing a few things to give a total CFO, but they have and are in compliance. But at this date, I still would ask you we'd continue J and K at this time.
All right. Do I have a motion on that, Mr. Commissioner?
Okay. Motion to continue on J and K.
I'm going to abstain for the vote because I have a direct ownership interest in the
computer. You've got your fingers and everything.
Somewhere now and then, the one will wait.
I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Item 25, public comment. Everybody shot all their bullets already?
Everybody bored or tired or
where did Dale go?
I don't know. He just walked out.
Oh, this is
Okay, we're going to take a 5-minute recess.